The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of our text. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in our readings for Easter 2 readings, I know we've touched on that, but that's so important for us that we speak in worship service the word of the Lord, the word that was delivered to us through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, so that we might have it until our Lord Jesus comes again. And it's because, as the scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I think in the readings today, one of the things that just kind of just popped, you know, jumped out, were these tangible words and considering words. There's words like touched, fulfillment, seen, heard, looked. I mean, there's some really words that are chosen very specifically and very thoughtfully for us to consider. Contemplation words. And these words point to the results of the life and fellowship in Jesus Christ that we have, that lead us and bring us to our own eternal life. It's pretty absolutely wonderful. Now, our first reading today is written by St. Luke. It's in the book of Acts. It is a follow-up or a companion piece to the gospel that Luke had written. And then our other two readings, the Gospel of John and 1 John, both written by the Apostle John. Now, both John and Luke very specifically give us the reason why they wrote what they wrote. So let's listen to that for a second, okay? Okay. Acts is the follow-up or companion to the Gospel of Luke, and Luke writes, "Inasmuch," this is at the beginning of the Gospel, "inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative." Okay, so many folks were writing things down. Right? So many people have undertaken to write a narrative of the things that happened among us, or that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning, right, the apostles and the witnesses, were eyewitnesses of and ministers of the word have delivered it to us. So, what's the pattern? He's writing it down because the eyewitnesses and the ministers of the word have delivered that word to the people. And Luke says it's a good thing to write an orderly account of those things that have happened among us. So he said, "It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely." He looked into it. He considered it. He thought about it. "Having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you." Put it down in an orderly fashion, most excellent Theophilus. Now the reason. Why is the reason? What is he doing? "So that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught." Right? So he said, "I'm not trying to scam you, Theophilus. I'm going to write this down. And oh, by the way, once it's written down, you can actually go to the people, like at this time Luke was writing, you can go to the people who are alive then and check out what I'm writing." Right? So you can be certain of the things that I'm writing and teaching you. Right? So the Gospel of Luke takes us from the beginning, right, from the annunciation of the birth of John the Baptist, all the way through the Great Commission. Right? Then the book of Acts, what does the book of Acts do? Luke tells us, describes the growth of the apostolic church as a consequence of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. So it's really just kind of laid out. Here's the history of the thing. Here's what happened. Here's what went down while Jesus was walking the earth. John, at the end of the gospel bearing his name, tells us very specifically this, and this is in our reading for today. Jesus did many other signs, right? Many signs in the presence of the disciples. In fact, we are told that if you wrote down everything that Jesus did, the books that would be written, the whole world could not contain them. Right? So Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, but these things are written. What things? The things that John records in his gospel. These things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing have life in his name. Okay. So why is John? So John, what he chooses to write down is very, very specific, relating to proving that Jesus is the Son of God. So when you read John's gospel, you read those miracles that bring out and accentuate this trust that Jesus is the Son of God. And that by believing that, you would have life in his name. And there's that other word again. This word life has been popping up through the entire Easter season, through Lent and on Easter Sunday, and now it keeps popping up again, so that you would have life in his name. So the point of what John writes is to show his readers and his hearers that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah who was promised to you in the Old Testament, and he is at the same time as that God in the flesh. So John is writing the gospel. Word means good news. John's writing his gospel and setting forth the realities of Jesus in the witness of his word. What does the word do? The word produces faith in the ones not believing and confirms faith in those who are believing. This is what John says. It's very clear. Right? Produce faith in those not believing and confirm the faith of those believing. He says, well, the ultimate purpose is that by believing, you have life in his name. His being Jesus. You have life in Jesus' name. Again, Jesus is the life. This town, we've touched on this before, but it bears repeating. This word that is used, very specific. Okay? This is life in the absolute. Life as God has it. What the Father has in himself and that he gave to the incarnate Son to have in himself, and that which the Son showed forth in the world. Right? As the Scripture tells us, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and made manifest to us. You and I, all of us, we human beings, were alienated from this life. Because of sin, we were ripped apart from the true life that God gives. And yet we become partakers of this true life through faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the author of this life for all who trust in him. Right? Right? And the hymn is the name of Jesus. And what is the name of Jesus? His person and his work. All that he has done and accomplished on our behalf. So the Father desires that you have, this is the desire of God the Father, that you have life eternal. To do this, how do they do this? The apostles begin to publicly testify to everything that Jesus has done, to what they have seen and what they have heard of Jesus. So the words are important. What is a testimony? Right? The martyreo, the witness. It is to witness to the evidence that you have seen. That's what it did. When they said the testimony, you look at that book of Acts, testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what they were doing. They were saying, we saw it. We saw it happen. Okay? Heard, that which comes to the ears and is thought about and understood. Looked, this word looked, we have looked or seen. It means to look closely, to pay careful attention to. What is the apostle telling you? That they seriously evaluated their personal experiences. Right? They just weren't moony-eyed followers of Jesus. These were serious men contemplating serious things. staking their eternal life and their immortal souls on the teaching of Jesus Christ, you better believe they examined it really closely before they decided to follow Him as the Messiah. Touched. To manipulate by contact. Did you get that? Jesus breathed on them. They felt His breath on their faces. Right? They were invited to touch Him. They saw Him eat. Right? They saw these things happen. Revealed. Made clear. Made manifest. You see, the good news of Jesus is not discovered by humans as if we're doing this kind of thing. Oh, what is that? And we discover it. It is revealed to us. It is made known to us through God's holy word. And once it has been revealed, what happens? There is proclamation. This word denotes the ability to report based on the authority of a commission. What does it mean to, for this we proclaim to you? Right? They have the authority to proclaim the word of Christ to them because they have a direct commission from Jesus Christ. So they're not just running around willy-nilly, right, saying what they want to say. They have a commission from God to say very specific things related to the very specific Jesus whom they are telling everybody about. So all of these words coalesce together into a comprehensive picture of the mission of the Christian church to proclaim what we have believed through the ancient witnesses of our fathers in the faith. That one, is what John said, that one which was from the beginning, He, the Word of life, God's Son, Jesus Christ, that person we have heard, we have beheld, we have seen, we have handled, that was Him. This is the same Jesus who said, I am the life, and again, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, yet though he die, will live. He is Jesus, the divine essence in its personality and its actions, the life that took on human flesh. He who is the life showed himself forth to us as the bearer of life for us. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins, he brought that life, the quickening, to each of us. Right? Of this life, Jesus said to the disciples, you will be my martyreo. You will be my witnesses. That's where we get the word martyr from. Right? They witnessed unto death what Jesus had done and said and done for them. Right? They are witnessing to something very specific. Not that they had a warm, fuzzy feeling. They are witnessing to the fact that Jesus was risen from the grave. That's what they were witnessing to. Think of John's Gospel. Think of John's Gospel. How does it begin? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What is that book ended by? I mean, this is so neat because you see how John is constructing. John's not like me. I have terrible trouble writing an outline before I write something. Okay? You know, when I was in college, you're supposed to write an outline. I like wrote the paper, then did an outline off of it and turned it in. John, you can see, he's like, he's got an outline and he's got it written down. And then the front end is God is in the flesh. And at the end of his book, we have Thomas, what we read today. And Thomas gives that great confession. And what is it? My Lord and my God. God came to us. The beginning, at the end, my Lord and my God. John bookends that with the divinity of Jesus Christ. And what led Thomas to this confession? It's Jesus appearing to him and saying, grand. Pulls his tunic apart. Put your fingers here, Thomas. Thomas sees and beholds. He sees and beholds what the other disciples had seen and beheld. Jesus just appearing to them. Didn't climb in the window. Didn't knock on the door. He was just there. He passed through the walls. He was just there. He just appeared. He knew what Thomas had said without anybody telling him. And invites Thomas to touch. Thomas's reaction. My Lord and my God. Then he said, peace. These things here. These scars. This piercing. this gives you peace. That's what you have. The true peace that which was shattered in Eden is the true peace that Jesus remakes. The peace with God the Father. God was angry at sin, and now that anger and that wrath is paid for and appeased, and He is no longer furious with mankind. That is the peace that passes all understanding. Dear friends in Christ, that is the peace that the church brings to you. That is the peace that the Word of God brings to you. You are reconciled to the Father. Even though we have been rebellious children, we are reconciled through the work of God's very own incarnate Son. The peace that the wounds that the disciples saw testify to the peace that was won by Jesus on the cross. This very thing is the forgiveness of all your sins. So here Jesus shows the very price which bought their peace. His pierced hands, His torn side, His pierced heart, all of His evidence of death by crucifixion. By His stripes we are healed. And of His resurrection they see that He is real. He is physical. He breathes. He eats. He speaks. It's all evidence. Evidence that is seen. Evidence that is written down. Not by one or two, but seen by hundreds. As the apostle tells us, Jesus appeared to 500 of the brethren at once. It has been written down by several. Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? Paul, James, to name a few. And we could go on. It's recorded for us so that we would come to believe that Jesus is exactly who He says He is. The fulfiller of the promise, the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, the risen Lord reigning to all eternity. Jesus says, peace to you. Peace through His extended hand pierced by the nails, by His punctured heart that takes your guilt away. This is the thing that brings you peace with God so that you may have life. The purpose of the words of the holy writers, so very carefully chosen and inspired by the Holy Spirit, are the testimony and the witness written down for all time so that you would believe and have life in Jesus' person and His work, everything that makes up His holy and sacred name. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.